Martin Kilcoin and Charlie Marlowe debut next Monday at noon. Now, here's a classic segment of The Morning Grind featuring Martin on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
You're listening to Swope's Picks on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.
And we're pleased now to be joined by Martin Kilcoin. Martin, what's up?
Buck, it's great to be with you. You know, Jack Buck called himself Buck. When he would talk about stories, he would say, Buck here, Buck here. So you are following in the footsteps of a legend, albeit at a later hour.
Yeah. I actually met Jack Buck. I used to work at a Steak and Shake. It's since been demolished, but the Steak and Shake in Rock Hill.
Is this Mike Lee?
It is not Mike Lee, no.
Okay,
but this was—he's—I think he's in Creve Coeur or somewhere out in West County. But no, this was in Rock Hill. I waited on Jack Buck at the Steak and Shake in Rock Hill in the off season between 2000. I think it was between 1999 and 2000. So I think it was right before the run that we're currently kind of still writing. And he came in, just got a little vanilla milkshake and a steak burger, and was as pleasant as can be. And it was like, kind of amazing to see Jack Buck just sitting there by himself at Steak and Shake on like a random weekday afternoon.
I just think in 10 years, somebody will say, I met Buck Swope. I was working at the local racks and he walked in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. We'll see what happens. So we're talking Ask Tony. We've got audio courtesy of the great D-Bear from 2005 and the last year at the old stadium when they made it to the NLCS, of course, and lost to the Astros. You started covering the Cardinals professionally in 1997, is that right?
That is, yeah, it's my first year back in St. Louis in 97.
And that was La Russa's second year, so it was fairly, you know, early on in his tenure. How long did it take for your Ask Tony persona to emerge?
I have to say, so you're the first Ask Tony historian I've ever talked to, but probably like in 03, 04, I don't know when we started it on the show, I guess it was 05, but it was all based, and it was kind of an idea I had in my head, it was based on the Camel X Sunday morning call-in show. I mean, how many managers are doing a call-in show live on a Sunday morning? I mean, maybe they do a show where the local play-by-play guy or local talk show host interviews them and they play that, but taking live calls. And it was just, I kind of got addicted to it. I mean, most people on Sunday get up and go to church. I had to get up and listen because, to me, it was two things that were fascinating. The people's questions were just so insane that they were hilarious. And yet, Tony, because in spite of his persona, is a very polite person.
Right.
Especially if he might be mad at the media, might be rude to the media. Very polite. You ask anybody who worked on the Cardinals charter, worked for the team, always polite, well-mannered. And if his players weren't well-mannered, he would call them out. And that's something I always respected. But he would get these calls, and they would just be old-timers that were kind of nuts. And they would say, and Ron Jacober would be hosting, Tony, let's go out to Centralia and build on a landline. You know, which, who cares? And the guy would always have something crazy. Tony, I've been a fan for 58 years, and I was just wondering, how come these guys don't ever shuck hay anymore? Because when these ball players used to shuck hay, they were big and strong, and your guys are all breaking down. And would you consider taking them out to a farm maybe one afternoon to build up some strength? And now I'm laughing in my car thinking, this is just absurd. And every time Tony would say something very polite, yeah, I'll tell you, that's a really good point, Bill, because I was just talking to Mr. DeWitt about it. And they're like, no, you weren't.
Right.
So he would give a respectful answer no matter how ridiculous the question was. And that's kind of in my head how it all started.
Wow. So when did you first get matched up with Tim McKernan? You were at the 2 Fox. McKernan was at the 4
Fox.
Sounds
like a weird like online meeting you're talking about. But the show itself was, you know, so Big League Broadcasting came in and took over 590. I had done some local radio here and there. Nothing on a real consistent basis. I guess I had done the Foxhole with Joel Goldberg at 1380. Sadly, there are no historians for the Foxhole, but we had a lot of fun. We did it. Didn't last. And then in the summer, maybe of 2004, Big League Broadcasting was going to assemble a new lineup, and they met with a lot of different people. And I met, and at the time I was doing some TV segments with Brian Burwell of Post Dispatch. And so when I met with Big League Broadcasting, you know, they said, hey, would you like to do something? I said, no, I'd like to do something with Brian because we're friends from TV and I think it would make sense. And, you know, the guy doing the interview, I don't remember now if it was Rob Weingartner or whoever, but they said, hey, well, we've heard a lot of good things. A lot of people have mentioned you and said you should be on this station some way, somehow. And I said, yeah, that's great. Maybe the thing with Brian would work out. And they came back maybe a day, maybe a week later and said, what about a morning show? What if it was Jim Hayes and Tim McKernan and you guys together? Now, we all knew each other from covering the teams and being in local TV, but I don't know if Tim suggested it. Jim, I don't know where the suggestion came from. I think Jim had sat in a bunch with Tim and they played the sandbox or whatever Tim called it, but I don't know whose idea it was totally, but Big League kind of came back and said, we want you to be part of it, but instead of you and Burwell, we want to do this morning show. And that would have been in the summer of 2004. And I think I probably talked to Tim a couple times on the phone and said, what do we think? And then they came up with the name, and we all said, that is the stupidest name we've ever heard of. And yet, in hindsight, it was very clever, very catchy. And to this day, people will still yell at me, I love you when you're on the grind. You used to be funny.
Right. So Big League Broadcasting, is that the Atlanta-based operation?
That's the Atlanta guys. Yeah, also, they were going to change radio forever. They were tough. They were the tough and cool guys.
Tough and cool. Right, right. So did
they treated me fine. I mean, I could mock them all day. Yeah. I could mock anybody all day, but they treated me fine.
That's fair. That's fair. Did you get any sort of blowback from the Cardinals organization? Like, they had to have been aware of it. Were they quietly amused? Did they ever kind of give you any feedback?
No, as far as Ask Tony, no, not at all. And I would say, unlike a lot of organizations, the Cardinals and like the higher up, like the DeWitt, Bill III, they, you know, I mean, Bill DeWitt III would go on and argue with, not even argue, but go on with Kevin Slayton all day long, and they're not afraid of anything. So I never felt like I was going to lose my media credential. I think my only concern was, well, boy, what would Tony think if he knew? And I believe it was the cat. And I said, don't tell him, for God's sake, don't tell him. I'm sure he's not listening. Don't tell him. And I think the chap might have told him. So one day I'm down there at the Old Bush. We'd probably done a handful of these, you know, just, they were stupid. I mean, the whole premise was stupid. And it was meant to be funny, but not.
You're filling time. You're filling time on morning drive. I mean.
Thank you. But Tony came up to me, always had the fungal on his shoulder in his pregame. And he came up to me and said, you know, something about, I heard you're doing an imitation of me. And I was like, oh my God, I'm about to crap my pants. I said, let me just tell you, it's totally respectful. It's just in fun. I said, we never talk about anything personal. If they mention your wife, your family, we move on. We dismiss it. You know, it's just about baseball. And he said, well, what's the material? It's something like that. And I said, mostly I just reference old time players. And he's like who? And I said, well, like a John Walkenfuss or a Chet Lemon. Oh man, Chester Lemon, what a ball player! And then he kind of gets lost in these thoughts about these old time players, and he seemed fine with it. And the highlight probably of the whole run of the segment, he called in one time. I don't know where that audio is. He called in and took part in Ask Tony, which is just unbelievable. Which the people that think he has no sense of humor, think about that for a minute. I'm quasi mocking the man. He called in. He's on hold. Tim's running point, and I can see on the computer screen, on hold, Tony La Russa.
Right.
And here I am doing my stupid song and dancing. That's a real legit question, man. I'll tell you, last night, and then they go to Tony. He comes on and says, I've been listening, man. This is a really intelligent, I'm kind of surprised for your show. You got something intelligent on, but this guy's real special, whoever you have on right now. And he just played ball, and it was fantastic. Oh, so wow. Whatever tension there was, that kind of ended.
Yeah, I'm not sure that audio exists. I mean, if it does, we'll find it. The audio that I had to work with was mostly from 2005, so I imagine that might have been.
I mean, I wouldn't make it your life's work, but it would be fun to have. I will say, related to that, we did it for a while, and Joe Buck called one time and said, my God, I just heard Ask Tony today, and he said, that is just unbelievable. He said, he needs to know about this, and I said, I think he does. And they were out of town, and Joe said, I'm sending him a text right now that this is just phenomenal. And I'm like, oh, please don't remind him that we're doing it. But I know Joe had talked to Tony at some point about how it was funny and it was not disrespectful. And So that may have been another high point. Just as far as Ask Tony having kind of a life to it, after they won the World Series in 06, it was a Friday night. Now, Sunday, everybody's cleaning their lockers out, still smells like champagne, everybody's still happy. The Russo is scheduled to do a TV interview for our Sunday night show, and I'm waiting, and he's in there talking to Bernie and Joe and all Strauss and Homo, all the writers. They're just sitting around shooting the breeze. I've got a photographer. I'm not going to be able to stay forever. I've got to knock this interview out. So I keep sticking my head in his office, and he knows I'm waiting. So finally, after about the third time that he sees me, he goes, "Yeah," and he said, you know, waves me to come in. And he said, "I will do that interview with you right now. I know you're waiting for me." He said, "I'll do it right now if you imitate me in front of my family." And his wife and two daughters, Devin and Bianca, are sitting there with Bernie and Joe and all the writers. I was like, oh, my God, I can't, you know, this is awful. Talk about being put on the spot. And I think I did a little bit about how Meatloaf, the only tragedy was that Meatloaf didn't come to the Friday game, but the drummer from Black Sabbath was there. It's just something stupid. And
you can't go wrong. I mean, you can't go wrong with old school music references. I mean,
right. And so he laughed, and then his wife, Elaine, came up to me, and she said, you know, he says the same bleep to us at the house. She said, that stupid tied for first thing. She goes, we hear it all at the house. So she approved, and it was just kind of funny that he had, I guess it made an impression to him. I think that's the beauty of this, is that he does have a sense of humor, and for those who didn't know it, maybe out of Ask Tony, they figured out or learned that he did. He had a pretty good sense of humor. I mean, he did random stuff like you couldn't make up. That's why Ask Tony was so weird and random, because at times he could be a little random. He grabbed me on a pregame at the Old Bush, and he said, that's Chris Isaac, man. He's right over there at the batting cage. I'm like, Chris Isaac, the singer? Yeah, man, go interview him. I'm like, no, I don't need him. Oh, man, go get him. Do something. He'll love it. And so I went over and I interviewed Chris Isaac, and I said, hey, Mr. Isaac, hey, Chris. I said, Tony wants me to interview. He said, oh, cool, man, that's great. What are we going to talk about? And I said, I don't know. And we did some five-minute interview, and it was fine. But that was the randomness of Tony, but also I think the beauty of Tony.
You did have a Chris Isaac reference in the clip that just aired. So,
well, that would make sense then. Calling Channel 2, the 2 Fox, that started with Ask Tony, and it still lives on. People still call it the 2 Fox. And right. Then when Doug took over, they called it the 4 Fox. And I remember Tim even saying, because I would flip some things, flip them around, and I just heard it one time, and it was on KMOX on one of those Sunday morning call-ins. He just kind of flipped something around, and I can't even remember what it was. He was like, yeah, the whole team, we went to the house, the housewife in D.C. or whatever. He kind of flipped something, and so then I just started flipping things around. And Tim even said on the show, oh, for God's sakes, you're taking a Hall of Fame manager and turning him into a terrible dyslexic.
McKernan often jokes about sending passive-aggressive emails at 4:59 on a Friday afternoon, and he's mentioned the October 2006 trip to New York for the NLCS in that context. Do you want to give your account of what happened on that trip?
I would say, Dan Caesar wrote about it, I think, plenty of the time. It basically was, you know, we were all tired, we're all doing the best we can, and I was in New York because Fox 2 paid for me to be there. We were carrying the NLCS game, so we had, you know, an hour pregame, an hour postgame. It was, you know, it's not breaking rocks, but it was a lot of work. And I had done the shows, and on Friday, the cat and I grabbed a car, you know, not that we sent a car like we're Letterman, but we, you know, paid for a limo car ride into the city. It takes forever. I did the 7-9 shift. I had to leave early because it was a day game. That series, it was raining every game. For some reason, the game was Friday, like at 1. And I had to get back. I had to get to Shea Stadium. And so I had to leave early. And I had told the producer the plan. The guys knew the plan. You know, morning drive, 7-9 is more premium, you know, slotting than 9-10. That's why you put Larry Nickel in the 7-9.
Right.
But I had to leave early. The program director, Jason Barrett, got really upset because I didn't tell him, and yet a week earlier he had said, your producer's your lifeblood, he's got to know everything, your producer's the guy you talk to every day, and I'm like, listen, I did all of that. The producer was fully aware, and he just, you know, he was all bent out of shape, and then he sent a huge email how people weren't committed and whatever, and the one thing that I just fly off the handle is whenever somebody says, you know, you don't care, or you're not committed, or they question my work ethic, because I'm proud of my resume as an employee, and you can always count on me. And if anybody I've ever worked for, you can count on me. I'll fill in for anybody. I'll come in early. I'll help out as much as I can. So it just set me off, and I couldn't take it. And I had the whole weekend to stew about it. And then we had the famous meeting where, you know, I think the cat called it like an out-of-body experience. He said he thought he was watching a movie. And I literally stormed out of the vault at 590 because I thought I was going to throw punches. And I'm like, I got to leave. I have to leave.
Yeah,
and, but it was the email was passive aggressive because it was sent to the whole station, but it was clearly directed at us/me, and that was the end of the morning grind. That email, that was the end of it.
Wow.
I couldn't go back.
Wow. Well, Martin, is there anything else you think we need to cover?
Honored to be here. It's been electric. You are legit, and this is this segment is clearly tied for first.
It's the morning grind. Tim McKernan, Jim Hayes, Martin Kilcoyne. Jen Pickett's back, by the way.
God, she looks good.
Lovely entertainment reporter. Did anybody talk to her during her time away?
I had email exchanges with her.
Kat, did you call?
I let her rest.
I didn't want to bother her. Welcome back, Chasey, in the next segment.
Chasey and I have cyber sex through email.
Is that right?
Yeah, good for you.
Does she know about it?
Yeah, she's totally into
she's
it.
She's on board. Somebody dropped off a packet, very official here. Just says the morning grind, and then it's pictures. Martin, this is what you guys should look like. Of course, Tim is in a class by himself.
Agreed.
And it's a Blink 182 shot with Martin, Jim, and producer Joe. And then Tim being in a class by himself, it's the South Park Timmy.
Yes, which is offensive to handicapped/retarded people. I find that offensive.
But then it says, I believe it says, with love, Gene Kirisky or something like that. Is that what that says?
How old is Gene? I think it says Dottie from Rolla.
Date?
Yes.
Date.
Oh, Gene, like, this looks like a man Gene.
Well, I can't, I don't know.
Well, it's Gene with
I guess
a
you're
G.
Right.
That's G-E-N-E.
Does that say with,
it's not a woman.
Yeah,
does that say
here
with
I am
love?
Asking about it.
What do you think that says?
Tim is in a class by himself.
Right.
I don't know what that says. It doesn't say with love. Well,
it looks like
know.
A W, like some people go W.
With love from a guy. That's
does
hot.
It, what do you think that says, Kat? W? Like the W, some people do the W slash with.
Yeah.
Joey, you can speak. Mute. What do you got?
Well,
nobody
goes really fast. No, Tim said he wanted to talk to a sorority, so right. I talked to Michelle, and Michelle's expecting our phone call. So
see,
we
nobody knows
her
who
call.
Michelle is. Who the hell's Michelle?
She's a, what is it? The Delta, Delta, Delta at Mizzou.
Tri-Delta.
Yeah, one of the same. I was never really big into that Greek stuff.
Nice sorority knowledge.
Agreed.
You got killed by these two guys. Tri-Delta, come on. You're not tough and cool.
Michelle's
man, if you're not in a frat, you ain't cool. You ain't nothing.
So
you
Michelle,
ain't nothing.
Michelle's going to help us break down the Missouri win, which apparently was lightly attended.
Yeah, I don't know if she won either. But she's there waiting for the phone call.
Wait,
what are you doing?
SOB.
I don't know if she won either.
I didn't,
what was that?
I didn't chuckle. There was no chuckling.
There was some kind of facial gesture.
Dang.
Like Tourette's?
No, like you were...
like a twitch.
No,
it
was almost like you can come to my home for Fruit Cup.
You made it look like I'm so cool because I booked a guest.
That's not even that.
Way to go. Keep up the good work.
No, what do I do? Do I punch
that.
It right here?
Yeah, let's
talk
to one
these,
or two.
Let's talk to these
do I
got to
hit nine when I die?
This
no,
sorority calling thing is a hit. Oh,
hey.
Stephanie, can we have the time kill music?
I hit one or two, Joe.
And now you just start dialing the phone.
That'd be a one.
Perfect.
Are you hearing any
don't
of
give away the number.
Time kill music.
Well,
and
only,
now
only
I'll play by play. Now Kill going dialing the phone.
Man, we're
dial
on a score.
Tim is all excited over here for really a
Tim,
premise that
is...
never really seemed to get off the ground. On
we only
show.
Did it once.
Here you go,
it was
Tim.
Horrible.
Let's get the end zone show on Sundays.
And it's at Flanner.
Tim McKernan.
I am the greatest.
Love that show.
Hmm. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, who's this?
This is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. This is Colt.
I'm Jeffrey Blotnick.
Jeffrey Blotnick and
Steel.
Big Shush from 590 The Fan in St. Louis, Missouri. It's your St. Louis sports leader. What's doing?
We're on the air right now, by the way. We have to tell you that.
Yeah.
Okay, hello.
What's doing?
I was just eating breakfast. About to go to my classes for the day.
What do you have? What do you have for breakfast?
What am I having?
Yeah, what do you got going?
I'm having some fruit.
Terrific.
Is the city on fire with bowl mania down there?
After the big win on Saturday?
Yeah. We hope that we'll go to the bowl. I don't know. It's still, that would be amazing.
How old are you?
Very
about,
good.
You're about 19.
Just get lucky.
You're 19, correct?
I'm 19, yes.
Yeah, okay. And you are a 34B.
Yes.
All right.
Ooh.
This is what I do for a living. This is what I do for a living. I can tell she's a thin girl.
Well, okay. Tim, where is she from?
You're like a sideshow freak, Tim.
I think she's from St. Louis.
Yes, I am.
Where did you go to high school?
It's just been prearranged.
I went to Lafayette.
I was actually going to guess a West County public
the Lancers,
school. Parkway
you were
going to
guess
West.
Marquette, weren't you?
Marquette, Parkway West, something along those lines.
Close.
So you and Matt Lawrence were a package deal. You both went to Mizzou.
Yeah, Matt Lawrence. He's a year younger than me.
Did you know him in high school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever go out with him, even though he's a year younger?
No. He was friends with one of my good friends who played basketball who was my age. So.
Okay, fair enough. So are you seeing anybody right now, Michelle?
Yes, I am.
How long have you been with this guy?
Actually 2.5 years.
Oh, boy. Let me tell you something. Sit down. Here's what I did. I had a girlfriend throughout college, and it was a big mistake. I look back on it. I'm 29 now. I'm still very hot, maybe even hotter now. But I look back on it, and I'm like, you know what? I should have been screwing around with a bunch of different people during college, and I regret the fact that I was monogamous, or at least she thought
I
was monogamous.
That's a guy thing to do, or to say,
Do you think you're going to marry this guy?
I don't know. I'm happy now.
But
so
you're 19. What a waste.
I'll live in the moment.
Yep.
Ever watch that Meet the Press?
What?
Never mind.
Have you ever been with a woman?
No, I can't say I have.
Do you think a lot of that goes on in your sorority house? I mean, these days, the girls that are around 19 or 20 seem to be prone to at least making out with girls at clubs, field house probably in your case. Does that stuff go on? Didn't go on when I was down there in the 90s. Gay 90s.
I don't know. I guess to each their own.
It's my credo. Also, a penny saved is a penny earned. So if Missouri goes to a bowl game, would you go?
I think that would be an amazing time. I don't know. One of my friends is a Golden Girl. One of my roommates is. So
ooh,
that would be fun to...
One of your roommates is a Golden Girl?
Yep.
She had?
Of course.
I bet she's sleeping in. She's not going to classes.
She knows.
She doesn't have to.
Let me ask you this. Did you ever notice the guys that sell the cell phones at the kiosk at the mall are the lowest members of the food chain in terms of retail sales?
Are they?
Yeah. Did you ever notice that?
I noticed that. They just like to hit on people.
You get hit on a lot by the...
I've never taken them seriously, so I guess that makes sense.
So you get hit on by the kiosk guys.
Yeah.
You must be hot. What do you look like? Give me your deals.
Oh, brown hair, brown eyes.
Tan complexion?
Yeah.
Well, if you're not tan, don't say it.
No, I am.
All right.
No,
when she
I
goes
am.
To the Hollywood tan, she's tan. Who do you look like?
I'm tall.
Tall,
eight.
What are you, 5'8", 34B. You're 5'8", you probably weigh 115.
Oh, yeah. When I was in, like, 8th grade, maybe.
8th grade. So what
reset,
do you
weigh? Tim.
What do you,
that'd
be like?
Kind of gross if I weighed 115 pounds.
Really? Okay, yeah, I don't know what's going on. So you probably weigh 130.
Like skin and bone.
Tim, reset. With
590 The Fan, Morning Grind, it's already calling.
With Michelle.
Oh, okay.
Joining us in case they replay this later
That's
today.
Right. Joining us is Michelle. She's a tryout at Missouri. We've rekindled the sorority call and a runaway hit on the Morning Grind. So what do you weigh, like 128?
132.
That's not bad. Yeah. That's probably good. Is that good for a 5'8 female? I would think so. You're not overweight, are you? Tell me if you are.
No, I wouldn't say I was.
Do you work out a lot?
Chad, are you?
No. I would like to work out more, but I do.
Okay. Well, 19 years old, 5'8", 34B. She's a tri-delt and is fluent in bisexual escapades at Fieldhouse.
Off the chart.
All right. Well, Bowl Mania has swept Columbia. It's pretty clear this
there
morning at the tri-delt house. Did you even go to the game?
What? I tailgated.
But she didn't go to the game. That's what went on when I was at school there. That's what happened. Nobody goes to the games. They get booze, and then they go to one of the cocktail lounges, and they never go to the game. But
yeah,
I had no problem
and
with
it. It was raining here, so.
You guys are really diehards.
Oh, yeah.
Have you cheated on your boyfriend in the 2.5 years you've been together?
I'm sorry?
Have you cheated on your boyfriend in the 2.5 years you've been together?
I don't cheat.
Yeah.
For you. Do you ever have a liaison with your house mother?
No, she's a nice lady, though.
You thought about it, though, didn't you?
That sounds like the door's open.
No.
Well, if you do, give us a call.
Oh, okay, thanks. I'll
Michelle,
keep that in mind.
Thanks for being our Columbia correspondent. We're going to send you and a girlfriend over to Vooch's for lunch.
Oh, thank you.
That's what we're going to do.
Send
Producer
us the
Joe,
belt.
Take care of it.
Put her on hold there.
Put her on hold. All right, thank you.
Hold on a second. Joey, you get her information, and we'll send her some money.
So she's been with our house mother? She's been with her house mother?
And a couple of kiosk guys.
kidding me.
Apparently, Missouri has got people fired up after beating Baylor.
That is unbelievable, the amount of excitement in town.
Maurice Drummond was down there, and I called him during the game. I said, what's the crowd? He goes, not very good. Now, they listed it, 45, but it must have been all the diehards. It didn't seem like the...
Tiger Board people.
Student, Claire McCaskill. Is that a shot? That was Michelle from the Tridelt House. I'm sure producer Joe handling it means she'll never get reimbursed for her lunch and Booch's. But I thought that was like a cheap place to eat, so that's why I said
that. Probably cost you $10, but those are some of the best burgers you'll ever have. I'll tell you that, Nelly.
They are good. I've had them myself.
They are good.
I got to get in a car one day after the show. Just drive down and eat lunch.
Good, man. They are good. Steak and Shake, Carl's Drive-In caliber burger.
The End Zone Show is Tim McKernan and producer Joe. It's after every Rams game, and this
we call
Sunday,
sororities on that, too.
Do you?
Yeah, we ought to.
Hey, what'd you think of the fake field goal down there at the Tridelt House? We giggled.
You ever look across the desk there and see who you're doing the show with and think, what happened to my career?
I sometimes wonder if I called Alan Cohen at Channel 4 if he would take me back, yes.
You're listening to classic audio from The Morning Grind featuring Martin Kilcoyne. He and Charlie Marlowe debut next Monday at noon on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.